Greetings and welcome to Season 2 of Hard Work, Education for the Soul. I'm your host and moderator, Pharrell C. Thomas. Thank you for tuning in to this podcast as we focus on social and emotional learning, teaching, reaching, and connecting with students, parents, and communities leading and growing in the field of education. We will explore these topics and dig deep into the heart and soul of education. If you have any questions or comments, find us on our social media outlets such as Twitter at HWEDU4TheSoul. And on Facebook, we're found at Heartwork, Education for the Soul. And our website is heartandsoulofeducation.wordpress.com. Please email me with any questions or comments at heartworkeducation@gmail.com. Again, that's all together, heartworkeducation@gmail.com. Again, welcome to another great season and podcast from Hard Work Education for the Soul. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pharrell Thomas, your host and moderator for Hard Work Education for the Soul. And this is Season 2, Episode 1. And I have two wonderful, lovely women on here tonight who I like to talk to them about them in one, education, first and foremost, what we always do on the show. Two, we want to talk about how the heart is connected into what you do as far as education, and those that are educators and those that are parents and those that are in the community and or school leaders or what have you. Everything that we do is centered around relationships. And so particularly tonight, I have mothers on here. So ladies and gentlemen, that right there just tops it off right here as far as heart work. Education for the Soul, and the person and the people I have on tonight. One in particular, her name is Onisha Edens. That's her government name, but she is known across this country, this globe, by many, many, many people who have had hurt stomachs as a result of listening to her. The lovely Big O, and that persona is that's not a stage name. That's who she is. It's not a stage presence. That's who she is all the time. As you can see, even on podcasts, as I thought she was blown away by Hurricane Laura that just came through her house. But was it? Then she comes back with, "Oh, y'all can hear me? Yes, we can." And so does our audience. And my other guest is a friend of mine, Mary Farr. And Mary Farr is the mother of two boys. In particular, I wanted to have Mary on tonight because Mary has raised two boys as a single mother. But in particular in this climate where we talk about education and we talk about social injustice and social justice and how that connects with school and even inside of school and raising kids, Mary's boys are biracial. And so I just wanted to even bring into that aspect and that topic and kind of listen to her and tell her story and her experiences. So that's enough for me. I want you ladies to kind of share or introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about how you all raise young men who are not only high school graduates, but college graduates. So to me, that was very impressive for the simple fact that we have always told what our boys can't be, and you all have defied those limitations that society has put on black men, and you have leaped over that by scales and bounds. And so I kind of want to, you guys kind of share with that, but we'll start with you, Ms. Farr. Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
So thank you first of all for having me on here. My name is Mary Farr. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I have two sons. My oldest is Malik, he's 26, went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and graduated there in 2016. And I have a 23-year-old son, Marcus, and he went to the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, and graduated last year in 2019. And, yeah.
All right. So good. So now from what I'm hearing, you know, and I perked up a little bit. So you and the experience that your boys have has been in the epicenter of what we're seeing. I mean, you're in the very city of George Floyd.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then now one of your sons has graduated from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and Wisconsin is now another hotbed of situations. Yes. And so, yeah, I'm going to definitely get back to you on that. We're going to come around and talk about that. Miss Onisha.
I am Onisha Edens. As Rael mentioned, they call me Lovely Big O. I am a working single mom of one son who graduated this year from the University of Southern California and also the Gloria School of Dance with Kaufman. He did two majors in dance and in business, and he graduated during a pandemic. So there's nothing much to say besides, you know, I didn't get to go to a formal graduation and COVID owes me. And I don't know how they're going to pay me back for not being able to see him walk across the stage for 4 years, but COVID-19 is going to have to recoup that money because them is 4 years in California because we live in Greenville, South Carolina, that they owe me a graduation. So I don't know how they're going to make it happen because they've mailed his diploma the degrees here to me. And I feel like the University of Southern California plus COVID owes me that. And that's all I have to say for that.
And I believe you're definitely justified in your assessment of what is owed to you. 2020 cannot leave us soon enough. It has been mired with black eyes. And all them black eyed peas people ate in January did no good.
No good.
Nothing but messed up intestinal tracts and clogged up some butts because it's just 2020 needs to go. So nobody eat black eyed peas or collard greens this January 1. It does no good. Change is getting new conditions. Let's put that out.
Mm-hmm.
We have boys that have graduated, young men and single moms. And I'm really curious of was there a formula or what was your whole deal? Cause Onisha, you and I went to high school together. Well, what year did you finish high school, Onisha?
Right.
What year?
I graduated in 95.
95. So when you started in 1991 then, so I'd actually graduated, but I had the opportunity to drive your school bus. So I saw you for most of your career.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Yeah, I did. I saw you as you matriculated to high school, and I remember this freshman getting on the school bus. And at that time, people... who don't know a lot about you, you were not where you are right now. Very quiet, kind of reserved, but could get loud.
Yes, but I wish you would tell people that. People don't understand that I was a very quiet and reserved individual. They're just like, I've always been rowdy. I was like, no.
Well, you could get rowdy, but for the most part, you was quiet and let somebody, you know, bothered you, you know, so you minded your business.
Right.
How did you get your son to this point when society says that your son was supposed to do what he did? And then on top of that, he has a major that we don't typically say boys would do as far as major in dance. So how did you get him to be able to get to that point? And tell us about your experience with him in school.
Well, I just when having Jakeavis, I already knew that he was going to be different. It was just what it was, and I knew that putting him in sports was not going to be it. I just knew it. I was just like, you know, he's just, even as a little kid, he always was creative and doing different things. Like, as far as he, you know, most of your kids want to take out pots and pans and beat them. No, he want to take out the pots and pans, and he want to see how it looks in a particular corner, stacked a certain way, or either he would just begin to just dance in the grocery store aisle. I mean, your leg kicked up on the buggy. I'm just trying to buy some Pampers. Why is your leg up on the buggy, sir? Put your leg down. No one wants to see that. So I decided to put him in dance at 3 years old just to take tap. And then the dance teacher from Diane School of Dance was like, he is really good. I want to put him in company. So Jakeavis has been, he was with a company team from the time he was 3 and a half all the way up to the time he graduated. And he took from tap, clogging, hip hop, jazz, ballet. It just took him to different places. He was able to go and do, you know, to travel even international at 15 years old. And then it just has grown from there. When picking his school to go off to college, he had a choice between New York and California. California said, this is how bad we want him. We're going to pay for a full ride. So it paid for a full ride in some areas, but baby, they forget to tell you about these little things called miscellaneous. And the miscellaneous begins to add up. And that's when mama has to kick in action and work like a true Jamaican and have like no life, because I now got to help with these miscellaneous assists in order to keep you in the school that I know is going to provide exactly what you need in the line of dance. And he still is, you know, able to create. It's been amazing to see him create even during a pandemic. To be able to choreograph for like Brandy, and he's been to Indy. He's had some major, he's still got major opportunities going on right now as far as with the Black Lives Matter video. So, and I got to watch him Saturday night do another creation, and I can't wait for you guys to see it, because
ABC back together.
He is like so Black Lives
the
Matter.
Group ABC got back together?
It's beyond me.
Oh, that was another bad creation. Okay.
Another bad creation, baby. Yeah. But you could call him that. You could call him that. But I wanted different for him, because I didn't go to college. People always think I went to school. I was like, no, I went to West Greenwood University. I graduated Eastside, and then I went straight to the hood and started working. That's all I did.
And Mary, I'll have you jump in just a second, but that's fascinating, because sounds like what you knew that you didn't have or get, you wanted to make sure your son was gonna get that.
Oh yeah, that was the ultimate goal. But Jakeavis is also self-motivated and self-driven, and we had a long conversation Saturday, and he was like, but Mama, I got that from you. I saw how hard you were working to make sure that I was able to stay into dance, because it's expensive for them to be in anything extra. I don't care if it's football, basketball, dance, soccer. It can be very expensive, and especially when you're talking about a single parent. So I had help from Diane School of Dance that recognized, hey, he is talented. Let's try to get these scholarships. And they do give scholarships for art. I think people feel like it's just for education. But on top of that, Jakeavis is very smart and intelligent. He graduated with a 4.3 from Wade Hampton, and then he even graduated here from USC with a 4.4. So he's able, he was smart, he's able to dance, and, you know, I just want him to understand that I want to retire at 50, and I want to do it on his account, not mine.
My question was, you know, hearing Onisha talk about the hardship as a single mom, particularly, mm-hmm. even not so, we're talking about public education. We're talking about now college, where there's this fee, that fee, yeah, the miscellaneous and all of those things that come in between, because it's not just getting to graduation. Now we're talking about paying for college, which I know that you didn't quite do as much, but there were still things you had to do. But before they got to college, what was the experience like with you being the mom at home, homework, and doing all other things that as active boys would do? And how was the relationship that you had with teachers or as a parent and then raising two boys?
I'd like to make it sound like I really knew what I was doing, but I kind of feel like I was really just kind of faking it till I make it. I didn't really have like some big, I should do things this way. My kids were always, you know, that they did pretty well in school. All through elementary, you know, they didn't cause problems. I would say, you know, do you have homework? And they would do their homework. And that was really about it. I would go to teacher conferences. It wasn't until my oldest was, went to middle school where I kind of noticed more, like when they had academic awards or they'd have those kind of programs, that I kind of noticed that, oh, okay, I think my kid is doing okay. And I think that's when I really started, like, okay, I will support you to do what you need to do well in school. And I just encouraged that. And I said I don't expect anything more than what you've shown me you can do. But then expectations for as far as being school performance on what they should, on how, you know, about how they can do well. When they started high school, I said, this is where it starts. Your grades count from here on out. This is what colleges are going to look at. They're going to look at your grades. They're going to look at your classes you take. And so I just had those kind of conversations with them early, and not when you're in a heated moment or talking about something. Just kind of talking about expectations and me explaining to them what doing well in school can do for them. It did.
Okay. So both of you kind of add this and try to tell me about stereotyping, because Mary, did you ever feel like your kids were stereotyped because they were biracial or even practically identifying as African American? And Odisha, did you ever feel like people might have stereotyped your son because he was a dancer?
They stereotyped him because he's a dancer, and because he's Black, and right. He is at the University of Southern California. I told the story one time before about how we were renting the car in California, and the guy asked us, you know, well, we're here for vacation, and me and my cousin took my son to you know, the college. You know, you take them, it's freshman year, you got to move them in. And I said, no, we're here to put my son into the school. And he asked what school, and I told him. He said, oh, does he run track? I said, no, he doesn't. Does he play basketball? I said, no, he doesn't. So what is he there for? And I said, well, he's there because he literally did get there on a scholarship. He got there on two scholarships. One was for dancing and the other one was for education. And he said, oh, so he's smart. And I said, well, what does that mean? Oh, so he's smart. And he was like, well, I'm just saying, you know, they didn't allow me to come in there. And I said, oh, so you're not smart. Okay, so now I get it. Okay. All right, now we got it. Now we're cooking with fish grease, baby. You're not the smart one. Can I get the keys to the car, please, so we can get my smart, educated black son to school? And he was like, I didn't mean to offend you. I said, well, let a friend be a friend. That's what you have to remind people. Let a friend be a friend. Because I wasn't offended, but I just wanted to make sure he knew that you just can't, just because our children look a certain way or they do things that's not just as we quote normal, you know, that they have to be stereotyped in this manner. Right. So it's amazing to me because a lot of people feel that way, but Jakivas is, he's more than just a dancer. He's very intelligent. And that shocked him. That shocks him. And I'm pretty sure, Mary, you get that too. Like, it just literally shocked him. Like, oh, he's smart. Like, yeah.
So, Mary, have you ever run into it, or your boys, or you had to talk to your boys? Did they feel like pigeonholed because, or did we flip it? We get certain things that we feel like, or certain people might have felt like they got certain things because they were black or identified with black.
Yeah, but I'd say both of my sons experienced that. my oldest had a full tuition scholarship to Wisconsin for his 4 years that he went there. And I, similar to Anisha's story, automatically when people would hear, oh, he has a scholarship, they go, oh, what's he play? Right away, it was... They assumed it was athletic scholarship, and it was an academic scholarship. And then when I'd say that, then their face would look even more shocked, like, oh, what? And that's unfortunate. But and I know that his race had a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son did particularly well in school, and he was a very good test taker. And got a lot of interest from like Ivy League schools and things like that. He was actually recruited and accepted to MIT. He ended up not going there, but he didn't tell people. He got accepted in December of 2014. He didn't tell anybody until like after he decided he was not going to go there, because he said, Mom, I just don't. He said, I'm either way, it's not going to be good. People are, you know, they're either going to think I only got in because I'm black, or they're going to be not happy because
they didn't get in.
But, you know, if I got in, they didn't.
Wow.
He's like, it's kind of a double-edged. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. He's like, and I mean, he's always been pretty level-headed. And he said, when people say, oh, they just gave you, a lot of people use that verbiage. And he said, I have not been given anything. I've earned.
That's
and
right.
That's what he would say. But he definitely dealt with, because he was very bright. He was mostly in AP classes in high school, which not many African American boys. A few girls, but not hardly
no boys.
So many boys. And you know, if he'd do well, then people would say, "Well, you're not really black. You're half white." Or he'd get those kind of stories, and he recognized, he said, Mommy, he said, whenever it's something good that I'm doing, like I get good grades or, you know, I get things like that, then that's, people attribute that to my white half. He's like, but then if it's like, they only associate me, you know, if he talks white or he, you know, things like that. He said, if But the negative stereotypes is when I would get associated as Black. And he can, you know, both of my sons identify as Black men, and that's fine. I think that's who they are. But it's funny how other people, their classmates would try to define that or put
them in a box,
labels or expectations on them,
right?
Because of that, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, as mothers, because you know I have three boys, and I fully believe that this whole situation of raising children is never intended for one person.
And, oh God, no!
And so, as a father, I feel like at times I'm probably too tough on my boys, because I know as a man, and then particularly as a man of color, that how more I feel like I have to work to prove or show my worth when, I mean, I don't need a doctor's degree to be a principal of a school. I don't even need the EDS that I have, which is right below a doctorate, to be a principal of school. But we feel like you have to have more than to be. And then, so as mothers, as single mothers, how did you help them in that situation when it was coming, like, as being a young man and to understand the gravity of having to prove yourself even more just because you are a man and a Black man?
I think for me, just with me, along with, well, I have to agree with what Mary, to let them know that education, it was really, really, really important in order for you to be or to get to a certain level. And for me, I know that Jakivis, again, like I said, he was self-driven to the point he started planning out what two schools he was going to by the eighth grade. He knew where he wanted to go. And again, you know, he had started traveling way before. So, like in middle school, but the reason why, like, he was not originally assigned to Wade Hampton. We went to Wade Hampton because it was the School of the Arts. And so we knew that that would be a good fit for him because we knew what he was about to embark on. But talking to him, I always kept things 100. I've never shaded or, you know, try to sugarcoat anything. You know, it was just important for me to let him know, listen, I don't want you to have to struggle as I have had to struggle. No fault of your own, but I know that with a better education, you will be able to succeed. Now, just like what Miss Mary said about how her son said, you know, they may not fit in here because, you know, he'll be too smart. He's had that, you know, we've had that conversation that him being Black and smart, that it's hard for him to even fit in sometimes with
peers.
Black race. Yeah. With the Black race, right. Because one, he's smart. He's a dancer. So they're like, ooh, but he doesn't talk like, quote unquote, as they say, as the Black person. He talks, you know, he's educated. So they're like, well, you ain't from where we from. So me being from West Greenville and Greenline, he didn't get to experience that. He didn't grow up in West Greenville or where I'm from, my neighborhood. So he was like, you know, even in school, they didn't want to accept me. He said, and only time the white people wanted to accept me is because either they accepted me because I could dance or they accepted me because they know I was smart and they needed help with their schoolwork. He said, so it was kind of hard, but I kept telling him of who he was. I don't care who accepts you. You have to stay grounded in who you are. You know, God created you to be the man of God that he designed for you, and you know your purpose. He knew his purpose a long time ago, what he wanted to do, why he was created. And we used to talk about that all the time because I was amazed by it. I was like, you know why you was created? He was like, yes, ma'am. He said, I am created to dance through hearts. I dance through the spirit. I dance to their hearts. And he said, that's what I'm here to do. So it for me, Jakibus was never a problem child either. You know, I didn't have to go to school. It was just, he just wanted chicken nuggets and french fries and some applesauce. That, chicken nuggets, you know, applesauce, I mean, and french fries. That's it. Miss Mary. Now, Miss Mary, that's it.
Keisha Henry Sales, you hear your girl, she was like keeping it serious, locked down, and then came the nuggets and applesauce.
But I'm just saying, he wasn't that child, you know. He wasn't even into video games. I bought a video game one time, and he really looked at it like, what was that? He was somewhere trying to read a book, honey. I'm trying to see. I wasn't trying to do that. I mean, because when he got to high school, Miss Mary, I don't know about you, but when he got to middle school and high school, and I basically just took math 101. That's all I took. He came home with calculus and algebra, and I said, sir, is it 1 + 1? That's all I got. I don't know how you divide a root cause to a tree from a point dot times 6, 9. I can tell you about 1 + 1, and that's your answer.
So you didn't really know about algebra. I mean algebra.
I don't know about, I do know about algebra, but now that algebra, no, I don't know the root from the division times 6 and how you get to pi equals 9. Now I know about apple pie or the sweet potato pie with some butter pecan ice cream. Now I can fit him through that. You see how I can get him that with the extra thick whipped cream on it. Now see, that's how you know God is in that math problem. I know that if you take a piece of my pie, you probably gonna lose your left eye. See?
Wow. Wow.
See? Wow. I helped him. I helped him, Miss Mary. Miss Mary, right. He got through it, Miss Mary. He did. See, for real.
Pie day was a whole different thing. So 3.14, but you know, the pie day.
Yeah, pie day, if I got 8 slices of pie and Lil Jakivas took 1 pie, how many slices is left and how you gonna lose your left eye? See, I put all that chemistry and algebra all together, and I gave him a Black History moment. You see how I gave him a Black History moment?
Right.
Still yeah.
Gave
him. Mm-hmm.
Still gave
him.
I got it.
Yeah. I knew you did.
I felt it. But so, Mary, with you on that same question, the same line, as far as being that mom, how did you help them, or do you feel like you did? Is even showing them or letting them understand, or was it their own experiences to see that being a man of color, being smart, do you mm-hmm. fit in? Where do you fit in this equation? And why is it that we have our kids? Why do Black boys have they been made to feel like they can't have success and be smart? And does that even come from educators in the field? How does that work?
I kind of feel like I maybe tried to be extra tough on my kids. Not so much like we could have conversations, right? And I hope they would say that, yeah, I could talk to my mom. Not about everything, obviously. They still were teenage. They were good kids. They weren't perfect. But they would... I mean, we definitely have conversations about race, but when it came to follow through, for me, was I felt the hardest part of parenting, and I felt that if I said I was going to do something, then I better make sure I follow through with it, because otherwise my kids are going to know that I'm all talk and no action. And my biggest fear was, once they get taller than me, are they going to think they don't got to listen to me still?
Miss Mary, that's when you know you have a gun and start shooting out pinky toes. That's all, Miss Mary.
So I was always kind of conscious that I would have, you know, high expectations of them, but they knew what I expected. It wasn't out of the blue. We'd have conversations about it. And I kind of, I think my youngest son would now say that I wasn't the biggest touchy-feely emotional mom. I was more like, rub some dirt on it, you're fine. And I kind of did that on purpose because I don't think that really is
right. So what you were sounds like what you were trying to do is not
to. I just felt like I was compensating because I've been a single mom since they were 2 and 6. That's when their dad and I divorced. And he was in the military, and he really wasn't around. And so I kind of felt like I really needed to maybe compensate and be a little tougher than I normally would for that reason, because I didn't want
them. You don't want to have them fall. You knew the outlook, or you I guess you kind of figured what they're going to face, and so you didn't want them to be, quote unquote, what we say, fall.
But yet, soft. That's exactly what I was going to say. Too soft. Yeah.
Right. But yet, still, you had your expectations of them being well above what they had to do. You wanted them to be above that, and that's what I wanted to hear. I mean, how did you do that? Because I mean, both of you ladies, whatever formula or whatever method that you chose, it worked. It worked.
I think too that when you know, like Mary saying, you know, because you're having to play mom and dad, you know, and you're trying to find a balance, and sometimes it's just I'm just laying down the law, and it's just what it is. And then I think too, for I know like with Jakivas, he had to really grow up really fast because it's just been us two, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just it. Like you didn't have the luxury of going here to spend a night. It's just been us. You've got to be at home, get in. He was a latchkey kid. Get in the house, lock the door, and you've got to be responsible till I can get off. And I've got to make sure that you're okay. And it's just, I just think too, that a lot of times what we don't realize is single moms, that we do put a lot more responsibility on our boys and on our kids in general. You know, it's a lot more to it than just you're in school to get your education. It's stuff at home. He still had chores. I don't care what time Dan's in. Did you clean your room? Is your homework complete? Today trash day. Roll the trash can out to the yard. It was still things even in the house as parents that we had to, as single moms, you had to say you're responsible for. You know. And I think a lot of times, you know, we do try to be mom and dad. And so the lovey-dovey stuff, you know, it don't always come like what they think it is. But it's there. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's just in the form. Sometimes we may have to lay the Ike Turner law down and let you know that you going to eat this cake or feel the Ike Turner hand of fellowship. Either way, it doesn't matter to me. Let's gather the saints and get you to where you need to be. Cause it's just you want better. I know that was my biggest goal. I just want you to do better than I do. I just want you to be better. Cause I'm gonna retire at 50 on his dime. Cause I don't know about nobody else. USC owes me plus COVID-19. Did I tell y'all that they owe me? They owe me. You owe me a graduation and you owe me an early retirement. Y'all took a vacation trip away from me. I mean, I was supposed to be in two places for graduation, and I feel disrespected. Mary, I don't know about you, but I feel disrespected this year. So somebody going to have to run me my money back. And I think USC got enough of my money and some illegal money, but we ain't going to talk about that. So, because y'all ain't got to worry. I didn't sleep with no professors or no coach to get my baby in there, honey. I didn't get to do all of that. I didn't get to participate or pay nobody $100,000s to get no SAT scores. He worked for his, but I think they owe me some of my money back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow, I tell you what, and I agree. But you know, one of the reasons I became a teacher, I had one black male teacher, PE teacher at Southside, Coach Jones, who also was driver's ed at Coach Jones, but I didn't have another black male teacher at all in elementary, middle school, high school. And my one of my whole points of being an educator was to have kids have someone, particularly boys, look like them. And my expectation mm-hmm. for boys in school is always been high because I want them to succeed. And it is so so great to have like this particular student who's a friend of ours, Cynthia Goldsmith. I'm going to give a shout out to another single mom who's got two college kids, and one just became a cap apple side. He came to me and he's like, and he knew that I was that. And I had him as, I was his teacher not once, but twice, third grade and fifth grade.
And, oh, wow.
And to see this student, this kid go off to college, and I watched him grow up. And to see him with that drive, and I like to say I played a part. He can probably tell you, I mean, that I had some part of his matriculation of going through elementary school, middle school, high school. But, you know, I can't take that credit fully. I was only in a couple of years in his life as his teacher. But he had someone, and he has someone now, even now as a fraternity member, as someone that can lead and guide him. But, you know, our kids rarely see that. And it's funny just to hear you both say how your men at this point now felt like they didn't have a place. They mm-hmm. didn't have a place that fit them because, whites will accept you, on certain ends because of certain things that you can do. But then blacks don't want to accept you because then they feel like you're above them when they have the same opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking to understand that our boys will have to even feel that way in the process, because then it's like, where do I turn? Who do I turn to? And so it's uplifting to hear two strong mothers on different parts of the country, one in the Midwest, another one in the South here, but stories still very similar. Sounds like the recipe for this was still tough love, true realness, being real with your sons, and then have the expectation that you didn't lower, even if they felt like they couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. Your expectations of them was still, you're going to do it, and this is how we're going to get there.
Yeah, you're going to do it, because me and Miss Mary ready to sit down. We tied with bleach. Yeah, so they ain't got no choice. We ready to sit down. They owe us. They owe us. You know how much? Do you know how many Chicken McNugget meals I had to buy? Do you know? Well, I'm tired.
At some point, I would think that dinner came a part of the package there. I was hoping.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it did. You know, it did. But, I want to be clear about something. I was a mom that was not on assistance. So I didn't get Medicaid or food stamps. I literally worked. When I had Jakivas, I went back to work when he was 3 months old, and has always worked two or three jobs. So that was another thing, and why it was really important. Like, my grandmother kept him from three until he 3 months old till he was three. I put him in Head Start, and then it just having some family support to also like help with picking up or dropping him off, you know, to the dance school, and making sure it was some help there. Let me just be honest and clear, but it takes a lot for a single mom to have to make sure the household is ran. You're trying to work. You're trying to provide, you know. Mm-hmm. And my hat's off to you, Miss Mary, because you had two. I had one. And I thought the Lord was coming back to get me a couple of times. I'm not going to lie to you, because that whole potty training situation, the day that I had to decide on if I was going to eat versus buy pull-ups, I ate. So I just want you to know that was the last day that I bought pull-ups, when I had to make a decision if I'm going to take this $5 and buy me Burger King or buy these pull-ups. And from then on, I had decided I'm going to eat today. I just didn't feel like buying no more pull-ups. It was stuff like that, you know, I had to flip it around. I had to make it comical for me to get through. That's why laughing until the pain is gone. Literally, I have literally had to laugh until the pain is gone at some things that has happened in our life. You know, and it hadn't been easy. Hell, one time we came home and the water was turned off, and he was like, I was like, go take a bath. And he went to turn the water on. He was like, Mama, something's wrong with the water. And I realized that, it's disconnected. So we played. I pretend like we was playing a game. I went and got water jugs from the store and put the water on the stove. I said, we're going to play a science game. I had him thinking that this was a science game. No, we just ain't paid the water bills. Right. You know, stuff.
Right. That's business. But to know that your son, again, numbers, data, stats say he was not supposed to do what he did. Merrick,
right.
Boys, not just one, two, and
two,
and then on top of that, so Merrick, you live in what? Although, so what people sometimes get twisted, mm-hmm. and I are in the South, and a lot of times we expect racism. We see it,
right?
It's not like it's overt, or we've grown to know that it is what it is. But then
right.
we see you and have raised the two boys in the Midwest. And like I said, Minneapolis. Not mm-hmm. George Floyd wasn't the first person. We talk about Philando Castile.
Right.
Now you had a son that lived in Wisconsin. And mm-hmm. then we see the situation with Jacob Blake. And so how do you all even have those conversations with your men who now, again, despite them having high school diplomas, despite them having college degrees, and then Mary has a son that's going back to school to attain a master's degree, these are degree intelligent young men. They can very well be in a car and stopped by police, and their life could change.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whatever their socioeconomic status or their educational endeavors, being black men. So, I mean, have y'all had those conversations with your young men? I mean, Jakevious was in California. Mary, your kids, where they were, I mean, how's that as mm-hmm. being single mothers of young men?
When my kids got their driver's license, we definitely had that talk that everyone is talking about, that everyone has is with their young black sons. We talked about that, and we talked about, you know, what to do, how to act if a cop pulls you over. And because we've always had pretty open conversations about race, it really wasn't anything out of the ordinary for our family. I just kind of made it real clear that when a cop pulls you over, he doesn't see your grades, or he doesn't know that you're a good student, or he doesn't see, you know, all of the activities and extracurriculars, the leadership roles that you take. They don't see that. they're going to see you're a young black male. And so really, just trying to be like, you know, do what you got to do to stay alive. That's all I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest son has been pulled over like four times, and three of the four times has been just negative experiences, because they just, the police will ask a bunch of questions, a bunch of probing questions, and, you know, well, where are you going? Where are you coming from? What are you doing? What are you doing tonight? Are you picking up your friends? You know, just so many questions that I know as me getting pulled over, I have never been asked ever any of those kind of questions. And I've seen the toll that it's taken. My son has come home, get a haircut, and, you know, he said he had to pull over for about 10 minutes. And I think he said he'll literally break down a couple of times. He's just broken down. And then I felt bad. I'm like, you were crying? And he said, Mom, it was just an adrenaline rush. It's okay. But it's still, he's very...
It's emotional. It's beyond
it. Yeah, it's very emotional.
Yeah.
Because you can't ascertain, there's nothing, who can you scream this to? Because
right.
Your sons, yeah. You guys erase them again. We have exceeded. You all have exceeded expectations. No, we're not repeater ninth graders. Statistics say if a student repeats, an African American boy repeats the ninth grade, then he is 50% chance of him not graduating. Prisons are built based on the data from third grade scores from African American boys. And so that's an emotion that you can't, I mean, it's like, it's so difficult because I wear a suit and tie. I gave, like I said, more, three degrees above zero, whatever, and all this, and this, and hang up and down my wall. But
right.
If I'm pulled over, that means nothing to the individual. Yeah. Like you said, they can't see my degrees. They can't see that I got on cuff links or Stacey Adams shoes that and socks that match, whatever.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Mm-mm. So then now you all have defied expectations, and now you're just hoping you don't get a phone call.
Yeah. Right. Yep. It can be very scary, but you know, for real, I had posted, well, Jakivas posted about his experience with the police in California. And still every time his experience with being surrounded with 16 police officers, you know, all because of, you know, him walking out of a store with a drink in his hand. It was during homecoming time. Him and his friend Rachel, they even told his friend Rachel to leave. And they literally drilled him about, well, are the same thing. They didn't think he was a student at the University of Southern California because he was Black. They were like, so what sports do you play? And when he told him, I'm here on an academic scholarship, plus I'm here on a dance scholarship, they just was like, no, you're not. I mean, they had him, they was like, well, where's your student ID? He said, I don't have it with me, but here, they made him recite his student ID. He had a South Carolina driver's license. Well, why you don't have a California driver's license? He said, because I am a student. They made him pull up his email. Then they told Rachel to leave, and she was like, I'm not leaving him. We came together. Like, why are you stopping us? And now that every time someone gets shot that is Black, that brings that back to him. You know, we've talked about, you know, even with him going to counseling, because that did something to him. And like he said, he didn't experience that back home. But in California, you know, he was like, Mom, it's just, you know, it's really different. And even with everything that was happening with the protests this year, you know, that was my major concern. So I can't sleep until he's home, you know. You know, I don't sleep, you know, when he comes home for Christmas break, I don't sleep well. You know, I don't, even in California, you like, call me when you get home, text me when you get home. But the last, the incident that happened with Jacob, with the guy that just recently got shot, he literally, I came in the room and I was like, hey, I'm checking on you. And he said, did you hear about what happened? And he was crying. And I was like, are you okay? He was like, I'm just literally tired. I thought George, you know, he was like, Mom, you know, George Floyd, he said, but we're doing this all over again. And he said, it just keeps bringing up, you know, that could have been me. He said, it still can be me. And he was like, you know, because they don't care about the fact that I can dance. They don't care about the fact that I have a degree in business. They don't care. He was like, it's just the color of my skin. That's all they see, but they don't know that we are good people. And so that does something mm-hmm. to them. And so I can imagine, Mary, how your son feels too about it, because now Jakivas mm-hmm. has this, I hate to say fear, but that's just what
it's
it is.
Of poli- it's a desire.
Yeah.
It's a huge desire.
It is.
Because again.
Yeah.
Again, you've achieved the highest honors academically. And so those mothers who have those kids and who are struggling and who may not reach that point, some of these kids, I mean, I don't want to lose our chance to say, does it even matter? Does it even matter? Why should I? Because I'm still not going to be looked upon as that man that deserves an opportunity.
It's like it's not enough, is what how Jakivas told me. Right. He said, it's not enough that I went to school. It's not enough that I'm educated.
Right.
It's not enough that I am, you know, working towards goals and visions and dreams.
And as happy as I am to know that you all have young men that are super successful, I'm also sad to know that the fact that at any point in time that it could be over and become a nightmare for any of us. And that's sad. Like I said, I'm a father of three boys. I wanted to hit this conversation. Onisa, you were somebody I thought of instantly when I thought about doing this show about successful young men who've cleared all barriers and hurdles academically and having a single parent, and particularly a parent of the opposite sex, you know, and then married, and then just hearing when you know you said that your son was about to go off and go to get his master's, and just knowing it's like, mm-hmm. listen, these women have done it, they've done it, and these kids are successful. Why can't we have more?
Well, I will say that I think for probably until my oldest son was getting ready to go to high school, I kind of believed all the negative stuff about single mom and no father figure and, you know, all the doom and gloom, because you never hear anything good
it's
about
propaganda.
It,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the media. Uh-huh. And it probably was right before Malik was going to be in high school. I felt like I was just fearing, like, okay, I'm just waiting for it to get bad. I kept mm-hmm. waiting, like, mm-hmm. okay, so when is the shoe going to drop? When's it going to be really, really bad? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I didn't have parenting struggles. Everyone does. But I think at that point is I had a shift in my mindset where I was like, you know, it doesn't have mm-hmm. to be bad. It doesn't have to be horrible. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It could just be this, and that's who my kids are, and it could be this path, and that's the way it goes. And I think really that's when my mind kind of changed, that I kind of quit fearing the worst and was just hopeful for their future. And they, you know, I feel really, really blessed. And I hope other single moms out there, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't always have to, yeah, it can be more challenging, but it doesn't have to always be bad.
Right.
Or have a negative outcome. There are good stories out there. It's just you really don't hear mm-hmm. about them as much as you hear about the negative.
Right. Exactly.
Oh man! And again, as an educator, it just does my heart good to hear the connections, and it sounds like for both of you, you have a strong relationship with your boys.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like the fact that he take my car when he come home, but I mean, he all right. He all right. And for real, it does really, truly make a difference of Black men in education, because Jakiva's teacher, Mark Joseph, who was his teacher in his elementary school, still keeps in contact with him, you know, from teaching him from elementary school up until now. And I think, too, that really showed him, you know, of seeing someone that is also that looks like me that can be successful. So my hat's off to you for even going the extra mile of being a principal, a donkey whisperer, I mean, and a great father and husband, because people don't get to, we don't get to see all of that. You don't get to see the successful side. So thank you for being who you are and making a difference in our children's lives. That's real.
I appreciate it, because again, like I said, that was my whole point of becoming a teacher. And it was, if it sounds selfish, my whole point of being a teacher was to be an example and help Black males. Not that I wouldn't teach any other kid, because I have. I've had kids that played basketball for me or whatever, and that been a part of my life. They that weren't Black were in my wedding. And I've had kids that, you know, that still come up to me, that call me or text me. So it's all racist. So it was definitely not to say that I was just going to teach Black boys and that's it and everybody else didn't matter. But I wanted to be someone that they could look to as an example. Someone who could understand their plight, because I think that's the part of what that's why boys do get negative stereotypes or negative feelings towards them. It's because people don't make connections or relationships with them. And So when I tell them, yeah, I grew up over in this part of town, well, I know this and I know that. Or when they say stuff and I say, I've tried everything you tried. I mean, look, you ain't slick. You ain't even greasy. You don't know about greasy corner. Listen, we had food stamps. I know. Listen, I did this. My mama bought my shoes. Have you ever tried on shoes in the middle of Winn-Dixie? I mean, get them out the same basket where they got the little bouncy balls of different colors, and you get pair of shoes that have lasted the entire school year. I mean, I don't even know what brand Winn-Dixie sold, but I remember trying on shoes on aisle 7.
Yep.
Doritos.
Why you got a loaf of bread just so you can eat a mayonnaise sandwich? They don't know that life.
Right. Hamburger helper with no hamburger.
With no hamburger, just the cheese helper. And noodles. Just the helper. Helper. Yeah. They don't know about fried bologna sandwiches yet. They don't know about it. You got to teach the youth, teach the world a better place on how to eat a bologna sandwich.
Bologna sandwich. Yes. Girl, I had spam. But go ahead, Mary.
Spam. Okay. Oh, I was going to say, I think, like, my kids, like, going to college and being around people who probably didn't have to struggle like they did. I mean, I think my kids recognized how that really helped them. They're like, Mom, like, I know how to go without. Some of these people, they don't know what to do.
Miss Mary,
they can't share a room. My boys always shared a room, right? They're like, Mom, they don't know how to have a roommate. They're complaining about having a small room and having to share.
Yep.
And my kids were just used to, now, Grant, I worked all the time. I didn't have a lot, but I worked. You know, I paid bills, but was there a lot left over?
No.
They didn't get everything they wanted, but I think it just gives them appreciation.
It does.
To know how to work for something. Mm-hmm. I really do think that.
Oh, it does. College will grow you up really quick. And I know that's what Jakiva says that all the time. He was like, Mom, they're really privileged. He was like, they are truly privileged. Like, he was just excited to be able to get cranberry juice. He was like, Mom, I got cranberry juice today. I was like, see, you growing up, son. You growing up. But he realized that, you know, and he said, I'm grateful that you taught me how to survive. Because Mary, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of people were so concerned that I was allowing him to go to California. I said, well, first of all, I'm not allowing him to go to California. It is something that he has worked towards. And I feel like you have to allow your children to grow. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes, you know, and we have to be okay with that. And that's where we were. And we had that we have that bond. We still have that bond to where I'm so in love with the fact that he wants to experience the world. You know, he's got an opportunity now that he's going to Germany for like six months. And, you know, to be able to dance into a dance with a company. And my mama, you know, she's old school. She was like, you going well? No, you can't do that. And he said, wait a minute, Grandma, remember what you told me? The same God that is protecting me in California is going to be the same God that protects me in Germany. And you know what she had to do? She had to be quiet. Our men, because they do have to grow up, and I know, Mary, for you too and me, they grow up so fast being in a single home because we do have to bring some of the responsibility to them. And it's a lot of responsibility they had to take on that when they do go off, you know, to another state or another country, they know what it's like. They know what they have to do. Jakivis is great with budgeting money because he saw what I had to go through. He's so good with budgeting money. I was telling him to get a credit card this year. Now, he didn't have a credit card all year. He just had his debit card, and that's it. But I said, get you a credit card. He said, well, what am I going to do with it? Why do I need to have it? I don't want a credit card. No, Mom. Are you sure I need to get a credit card? I don't want to be able to do that. I think this is good, what I'm doing right now, is saving money. I said, I know it's good you're saving money, but son, get a credit card and just buy some gas. I'll buy you a bag of Doritos. Matter of fact, buy you some draws. Just go to the store and buy you some draws. Buy you a pack of draws once a month. Just buy you a pack of draws.
And pay it off.
Pay it off. Yeah. But those are the things, too, that you have to do. Keep in mind. And I know that was really big for me, was financially making sure that, you know, that he is not having a lack, you know, when he gets older, you know, as much, like I told him, I don't want you to have to feel the struggle as I did, but you're going to feel something because it's going to continue to develop you into the person that you are. And that's even now, just teaching him, okay, now it's time for you to get a credit card, you know, because school is completely paid off. He wanted to make sure his balance was paid off when he graduated. So he worked during school. And he was like, Mama, I tell you what, you go in half and I go in half and let's get it done. And I was like, I knew there was a God that was coming in your senior year. I knew God was going to rain down your brain in your senior year and see that. And Lord, he worked it out. But I know it develops, you know, college really developed him too, and to help him being a better man. So I'm really fortunate in that, man. But we still can't do it without our community. You cannot do it without y'all. We can't.
That's deep. I appreciate it. That's deep. All right. Well, ladies, I've enjoyed definitely this time of talking with y'all. It's almost that time before I like to give opportunity to give a parting shot of anything that you would like to say, anything that you would like to end with. If you want to share something with other single moms that's going through the situation that you're going through, raising boys and knowing that they can be successful in school, high school and beyond, even to college and even going into professional jobs. But I want to thank you for being who you are. I want to thank you for being strong women. As we can see that this thing transcends racial lines. Mary as a white female, Onisha as a black female, but this at the same time, you raised young African-American men to understand the value of education and what it could do for them. And so I appreciate that. I thank you. And I'll start with Mary and we'll end with the lovely Big O.
I think, like Anisha said, we just want our kids to do better than us. And I know that's definitely true. I say that all the time. And it's been more, I'd say it's maybe more challenging being a single mom or really single income. That's the biggest part. But I didn't always know everything. I didn't come in with like, oh, I have a plan. I have a list. I didn't. I was just doing what I needed to do. And you kind of learn as you go along, as years go on, you learn, okay, this works or this works. And I just think it's the biggest thing is just communication and, you know, not giving up. It's hard. Parenting is hard, period. But it's hard when you can't tag out to someone else. That's the part that's really difficult. You just got to keep trying. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but I feel like, you know, just keep trying and, use your resources that you do have, your support system when you can, and just not give up and realize, like I said, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be a bad outcome.
Miss Mary, thank you, Miss Farr, for being a part tonight. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Wisdom.
Thank you for listening and definitely sharing. Thank you for raising two strong men that are going to be tremendous assets to the society and then their community. And that's all because of what you instilled in them. And so I want to thank you as an educator, because there should be a partnership between parents and teachers and everyone, because at the end of the day, we want successes like your boys and boys and girls alike. And we just want them to have value into their educational process. And so thank you. I appreciate you. Until the next time, have a good one.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, ma'am. I need your final thoughts.
I was like, for real, they had the barbershop phone to cut me off. He must thought I was going to say something crazy.
No. I don't know what was going to. No, I need your final thoughts on tonight.
Listen, don't put limits on your children. Boy or girl, do not put limits on them. The sky is truly, it's just unstoppable for our children. So whether they want to go in-state to a HBCU, to an Ivy League, if they have a goal in mind, let them have it. Only thing you need to do is make sure you cover them in prayer. You're bringing them up with, you know, a good, strong arm, caring arm, loving arm, some good hand claps and hand slaps. All of that works together. I mean, but whatever you do, don't tell them that they cannot achieve a goal or a vision or a dream. I have never did that with Jakivas. When he set his mind to something, only thing I said was, how do I help you succeed to make it happen? Mm-hmm. What do you need from me to make this happen? Wow. Because we do want better. So that was the ultimate goal for me. And still is to this day. Like I said, he's got a project that he's working on. I was up Friday night to 3 a.m., Saturday night to 3 a.m., last night to 4 a.m. But that's something that's just self-driven, the motivation that I see that's in me, that I see in him. So whatever you do for you do for your kids, man, make sure it's just 100, be real and be honest, but don't limit your children. Don't limit them. That's it.
And that's great advice. And I appreciate you. And we have to tell Keisha that you can speak seriousness too. I'm gonna have to, you know, Keisha was on my show.
I wish you would tell the people for real. Like, I know other stuff besides oatmeal pies and ginger ale. I know other stuff. I mean, you know, I gotta look, you know, I, we graduated. masquerading as Eastside Eagles. They gave me a little something. Now, you know.
A little bit.
You know, they gave me a little bit, you know, but I could talk a little bit of sense. You know, life experiences will have you flipping on and off at any given moment, friend. But, man, hats off to you again. This podcast is awesome. I'm so grateful that you even asked me, honey. I'm really honored, honey. I was like, what? I get to be on the bougie podcast with the principal, honey, that's Donkey Whispering? Man, this
is... Juanita, please don't cut this part out. We want the listeners to hear this as well. Thank you. I'm continuing working on my Donkey Whispering techniques and skills. I'm going to have to get some little more knowledge in that. I'm going to watch Shrek 1, 2, and 3. To see if I can speak his love language, because he's not connecting with me. And so yeah, this is hard work, education for the soul. And I need to find the education and hard work for a donkey.
But I think what it is, the Stacey Adams and the Easter suits is messing them up. See, you're going to have to come out there.
I had on some nice wingtips today. So
yeah, you got to come out there in your overhauls and put your little straw hat on. Throw a little straw in your mouth.
So I think I'm gonna get that and get on the gram and let everybody see me.
You need to, because that's what's messing him up. He don't know nothing about Easter suits and Stacey Adams. He don't know about that. That's why he don't want to talk to you.
Well, thank you again, Onisha Eden, also better known as the lovely Big O. We appreciate anything you want to tell the people who may be listening. Anything you got coming up. Your website or your
Instagram and Facebook, Twitter is Lovely Big O. Right now I'm doing an in-home live Facebook Catch Flavor Not Feelings, where we're showcasing local upcoming chefs and cooks that we did not know that were able to cook during COVID-19. Everything is based out of my home right now. And Sundays, I'm on 107.3 Jams for Throwback Sundays from 1 to 6 p.m. And on Saturday mornings, when you get up and trying to go to work from 8 to 10. And I'm just all over social media. It's Lovely Big O, just how it sounds. And, man, I'm grateful. And that's about it. Right now, I'm not doing anything because of COVID. So COVID has really shut down most of my events. I think that's going to be another podcast that you're going to have to talk about. How do we survive entertainment in this COVID-19.
Well, I agree. Yeah. And so, folks, please follow her, the lovely Big O.
Yes.
And follow her and her social media outlets. And again, thank you for being a part. I love you. Keep doing what you do.
I love you too. Thank you.
You have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That's our show for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed it, tune in next week and bring along a friend as we continue our conversations on matters of the heart in education. I want to encourage everyone to continue your hard work as we teach and lead from the heart and soul. Remember to check out our social media outlets and follow us on Twitter at HWEDU for the soul, and on Facebook at Heartwork:Education for the Soul. And you can also find us on our blog website at heartandsoulofeducation.wordpress.com. Again, that's heartandsoulofeducation.wordpress.com. Special thanks to all our guests and my producer, Juanita. Lastly, as we continue our journey of educating and leading people with our hearts, remember the words of Maya Angelou. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Till next time, be blessed.